Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, truly, for the guidance and the activity that you have for us in our lives. We ask you, Lord, for your grace to be showered upon us as your presence already is. We pray, Lord, that you open up our ears and our hearts to receive this glorious gift of your word. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the expounding of the word, that it is as you desire it to be. May your name be praised forever and always. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Excuse me.
The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Nebuchadnezzar of Judah had confined him. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.'" Excuse me. "Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, son of Neriah, son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence, I charged Baruch, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both the sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of my favorite stories of Jeremiah. So let me kind of set up what's happening here. Jeremiah is a prophet in the land of Israel during this time. And during this time is not a good time to be alive. See, in Jerusalem, they've been facing a very long siege from Babylon. They've surrounded the city, cut off all the supply lines. Food is running scarce. Water's running scarce. Resources are at an all-time low. It's not a good thing. And in fact, Jeremiah, in the midst of this, is not a well-liked individual, because Jeremiah is telling the people of Israel, be prepared, because Babylon's going to win. It's not a popular message. It would be kind of like if I told you, be prepared for the football game tomorrow because the Steelers are definitely going to lose. You wouldn't appreciate that from me. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, so I can't tell you the truth of it. Jeremiah was correct because he got his word from God. And when in a siege, when morale is running at an all-time low, you would like something to look forward to. And Jeremiah didn't have that message. His message was, Elijah and I were playing a game once. See, many of you know I love video. I never quite grew up in that sense, and I still love video games, but also enjoy board games. And one of the board games Elijah and I played is called This War of Mine. If you ever get the chance to play that game, This War of Mine, do it. It's a wonderful experience. It is an awful game. I mean, it is sad, it is frustrating, It made me angry. It made me cry. It's not one that you play when you're like, hey, I want to do something fun. It's more of something that you play when, hey, I want to experience something somewhat worthwhile. What the game is that you play three different characters. In the middle of a war-torn city that is being besieged by an enemy. You see, oftentimes when you think of war, you think of the military that's fighting the war. But this game focuses upon the victims that are trying to survive the war. And so your goal is to do just that, survive for as long as possible. The goal is to survive 3 weeks. Elijah and I never made it past 4 days. All of our survivors were lost. We've played 3 or 4 times. And you got to make very difficult decisions in the midst of that. Every day you have to fix up your rundown house that's been bombed out. You have to decide what to fix, decide whether to take a nap. And then at night, when everyone else is going to sleep in the military, their activities are ceasing, you have to, one, guard the house, and two, go and scavenge. So you got to split up your group and do that. And different things come against you when you do that. So Elijah and I took our guy, and we went out and scavenging. And we had found a good supply of food, because you got to feed your survivors every day, food and water. We found a really good supply of food. And then we turned over an event card, and that event card said that a bunch of starving people came up to you asking you for your food. So you had to decide whether to give your food to them and then thus starve yourself, or protect yourself and thus have them, you know, end up die eventually. I won't tell you what we decided. I still want you to think kindly of me. It's a difficult game. Got to make all these very awful decisions. The tagline for the game is this. Surviving might be the goal, but can you live with your survival? Which can be a very apt question. Jeremiah and the rest of the people in Israel were in this situation. They were just trying to survive, and they needed anything to find hope. And Jeremiah wasn't giving it. We're going to lose. That's what he said. We're going to lose. We're going to be taken over. Life is going to change, and we're going to be captives of Babylon for many years. And then this weird opportunity comes to buy land from Anathoth. The cousin came up. Buy my land. If you're in a siege, you're not looking to buy land. If you're the one who's saying that we're going to lose, we're going to be captives in Babylon, the property value of Jerusalem at that time was probably pretty bad. And buying land in that area was probably not a smart idea. Hanamel probably needed some money, some resources of his own, maybe to bribe guards in order to try and get out of the city, or whatever the case is. We don't know why he needed the money. We can just understand that money was necessary during this time. Jeremiah bought the land because God told him to. Because God said this: lands and property will be bought and sold. It's likened to this. Basically, what God was saying is, I got this. I'm in control of this. Everything around you looks terrible and awful, and it is. But this too shall pass. There will be hope in the midst of all this darkness, in the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all this terrible things happening. It will get better. One of the things that I appreciate, well, it's not the right word. One of the things that I recognize about life is that it's messy. Life doesn't oftentimes go exactly the way we plan it. In fact, very seldom does it go the way that we plan it. We make all these plans, we do all these things, we have this vision of our future, and it just doesn't always pan out like that. and it's hard. And it can get us down. And it can frustrate us to no end. But have you ever met someone in your life who it seems like not much can get them down? That somehow, some way, even though their world is collapsing in upon them, they say, when you ask them, how are you doing? I'm doing all right. They might have cancer. They might have an incredibly high mortgage and debt that they'll never pay off. They may have just lost their job. Their marriage may have just broken up. Whatever the case is in their life, whatever you ask them, they say, and they mean it. You know when people are lying, when you ask them how their day's going, they go, it's going great. But they mean it. Things are doing all right. People like that show us that no matter what's going on in their life, like Jeremiah, they will continue to invest in it because they know that they will see God. They know that God has tomorrow firmly in God's hands. They live with hope, and that hope gives them peace. Far too often, we look around at this world that we live in, and all we see are all the bad things that are happening. And people say, it's not that I'm a pessimist that I see all the bad things that are happening. It's that I'm a realist that I see all the bad things are happening. Because all the bad things really are happening, and I'm not going to ignore them. And that's true. God doesn't ignore the bad things that are happening either in our lives. But one who lives with hope realizes that it's the bad things and the difficult things in this world that they don't have the last word. That God has the last word. That we can get through them. And even in the midst of them, we can find peace and strength that we didn't even know we had. Jeremiah's lesson in buying that field, it may look that he was investing in a sinking ship. But Jeremiah was just putting his money on God. So I pray that we do that same thing in our lives. That we know that God's got this. That we know that we got the strength to get through whatever it is that we're facing. And that we have peace in the midst of the turmoil. And we thank God for that.